The scripture this morning is from John chapter 14. Jesus speaking to the disciples, and says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way of where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him." God bless you. Reading his word this morning. Oh, and then the last says, "You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Praise the Spirit. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live." This morning, as we talk, we've got some photos for reflection. Jen Owens has gotten some amazing photos that illustrate these points about Jesus as the way and the truth and the life. I invite you to just reflect on those. We really celebrate art as being a gateway to understanding God, because we believe that human creativity is a reflection of God's creativity, and that you and I are made in his image. That's really important. As we talk today, I want to tell you up front, there are 10 or better sermons in this passage of Scripture. And I'm not going to cover every question that the Scripture may raise in your mind. In fact, chances are pretty good that you will have some questions after this, and you know, you're welcome to email me or catch me after service, whatever. You've got some things you want to know about. Well, I'm not going to answer a couple of the major questions that this probably raises, because it is such an expansive passage of Scripture. What I do want to look at are a couple of people whom I find very relatable, who struggle in some of the same ways that I struggle. And the hope that comes out of Jesus' I am statement, what that means for us. So, to begin with, I want to remind you kind of the context of where we're at, you know, in Christ's life. We're approaching, in this passage of Scripture, it's the night before Christ is going to be crucified, the night before his death. Last evening, he spends with his disciples on earth. And this is all going to be, you know, the moments we're going to lead to his death and his leaving them. He's trying to reassure them, trying to let them know kind of what's to come. It's Thursday night before Good Friday. And he's having his last meal with his disciples. And remember, this is from Passover meal. So it might be kind of like a Thanksgiving meal that you and I will share here soon, you know. That you have in your home, the kind of thing where you bring people together that you love and that you care about. And I think Jesus felt very much like that about his disciples. And yet there was a lot of symbolism here too. Remember, it was a commemoration of how the angel of death had passed over the houses of the Hebrews when they painted the blood of the lamb on the door lintels. And so it was a reminder of God's forgiveness, of God's grace, of God's protection. You know, we're setting this backdrop, all of this just gives a deep symbolism about what Christ was about to do and what it meant for these people he was talking to. And to commemorate that, we had the Passover meal, and Jesus and his disciples sharing that. And he's trying to prepare them for what's going to be the worst day of his earthly life, and probably of theirs. What's probably going to be the most trying moment for their faith and their time as his disciples and followers. There's going to be some tests and some problems that are coming, He wants to leave them with something substantive, something that they can be able to bite into, something that they can be able to hang their hat on, something they can be able to go back to as a point of faith when things are tough. And so he's talking to them, and he's reminding them of these important things, and he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me too. And throughout the passage, you know, you see, Jesus really has some characters. You know, he wants them not struggle. He wants them not to be lost when he's gone. He wants, you know, his disappearing in the earthly sight, not to leave him floundering and without any kind of leadership, without any kind of direction, and just a panic. Because Jesus knew the hard man, right? I mean, if you're like me, I need someone to be honest. You're going to see in this passage that there are some of the disciples, at least, some of them, probably all of them, needed that as well. You know, something that's kind of common to human condition. So he's looking out for him. He says a few things. He says you need to love and care for each other. He says that back in chapter 13, you know, that they need to be mutually caring, that they need to look out for one another. The second thing is he says you need to trust him. And really brings that out in this passage. So it's kind of pushing them to understand these things so that they'll have some kind of framework for their faith in his absence. And so, you know, he says, in my father's house there are many rooms. I'm going to make a place for you. I wouldn't have told you that I was going to do this if it weren't going to happen. And he says, you know the way to where I'm going. And there you've got Thomas. We always call him Doubting Thomas, right? But, you know, Thomas, I think, was a pretty good guy. I don't think Thomas had weak faith. I think Thomas just had human faith. I think Thomas had the same kind of faith that I've got, that struggles sometimes, that sometimes gets a boost, that sometimes needs some evidence, something to encourage. And so Thomas says, no, we don't. Well, Jesus, hey, no, we don't really know where you're going. And we don't have any idea how to get there. What are you talking about? Jesus says, where I'm going, you know the way to get there. And he's like, no, no, we don't. And in that voice of Thomas, I kind of hear some panic. Do you? I kind of hear this sense of somebody who has this realization, you know, that, wait a minute, this guy that we've been following, this master, this rabbi, this teacher, this friend, who's cared for us so tenderly and has been guiding us to God and has been telling us things about the kingdom, suddenly tells us he's not going to be here anymore. Feel very afraid of what might happen. And I think Thomas is dealing with something. He had it with the loss of Jesus has been their guide and their leader and their teacher and their friend. It's hard. And he says, I'm going away. He's like, how can I possibly know how to follow you? How can I know where you're going? You have Peter, who speaks up, brash Peter, love Peter, again, so much like me, sometimes, who steps up and says, well, everyone else may leave you, but I will not. I will go with you. And then Jesus said, of course, four nights over, he'll deny me three times. Wow. Hurts. The kind of stinging words. He tells Peter, you'll fail too. And then his words of Thomas. We don't know what you're doing. We don't know where you're going. Tell us something more. I think there's some suspicion, maybe some lack of trust. Maybe there's some struggle going on inside Thomas. He's acting like God is assigning him something so difficult that it may just not be doable.
No.
You know? No. We don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. Help! We don't have a roadmap. This all feels foreign. It feels scary. It feels like there's no handles on it. If you hold up, you're just saying you're going away. And somehow or the other, we don't know how to find you. I've been in that spot, haven't you? You ever had that in your face? It's in there a lot of times. It's afraid. You know? And in the middle of all that, Jesus is just sitting there, very calmly saying, trust me. Trust me. You know where I'm going. You know how to go. And I love that in those first couple of verses there, Jesus does kind of talk about what's going to happen. And he says to them, I will be with them. He does communicate that with them, to them. You know, he's going to make a place particularly for me. He's going to make a place for you and me, and that his desire has to be permanently together with him. He stresses that. So if, you know, if he desires for him to be with him, clearly he's not going to just abandon him with no idea how to get to this place that he's making. And And he says, there's lots of room. Don't worry, I've got a spot. I'm going to come back. More than 2,000 years later, we're still waiting on it. They probably heard that. Maybe thought in a day or two, a week or two, a month or two. Who knows what they thought. I don't see anything in Scripture that, you know, details or that make points to me the idea that Jesus gave them an idea that that was going to be a long time before that happened. And I think God has his reasons for why it takes so long for that to happen. Just like Jesus coming into the world, we're going to talk about, you know, coming to Advent, that there's this sense of this perfect timing. This timing that God has that is never wrong, never an instant too early or an instant too late. And so, at that perfect time, Jesus died. And at the perfect time, he'll come again, and that's not given to you and me to know, but it sure does make faith cumbersome. But he doesn't fill in a lot of details. He's trying to comfort them. He's trying to give them some kind of outline of what's going to happen. And so they say, you know, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. He says, come, trust me. I am the way. You know, if you have a relationship with me, I'll get you. I'm the way. I'm not just telling you about the way, because what they were looking for was a description. Here's a set of steps to take. This is the way that will get you to heaven. Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't give us a punch list. Now, granted, there are a lot of religious groups in the world that claim to have some sort of punch list of do this, don't do this. Usually, there's a lot more on the don't do side. I've noticed that. But there's always this list of, you know, do this, don't do that, and then you'll make it to heaven. Jesus doesn't really say anything about that either. What he tells Thomas is, I am the way. The way to the place that I've prepared for you, the way to permanent relationship with me that's eternal, it's ongoing, they'll never be broken or separated. It's through me. It's through faith and trust in me. And he says, I'm the truth. I'm the truth about what will happen. I'm the life that I have. You know, he's been talking to them. I mean, that's the theme over and over and over again in John's gospel about life. And the importance of life. That word zoe in Greek, we get zoology and things like that from. You know, life. This the sense of living, this life that we never knew apart from Christ. And he keeps reminding them that. And so he says, I am that life that I promised. And I am the truth. What I'm telling you is legit. What I'm telling you is reliable. What I'm telling you will be enough to save you. And I am the way of your death. So you really can trust me. If you really knew me, I'm the way and the truth and the life, no one comes. And that probably, for a lot of us, sounds puzzlingly exclusive when you first hear it. I think a lot of people would struggle with that. But I think the thing he's trying to communicate here to Thomas is, I really am unique. There really is no other Savior. There really is no other plan that God's made. I am the Messiah that you've waited for. That the people have waited for all these years. I am the one. And I've given myself. Says, if you really knew me, if you really understood me, you'd know my Father as well. But he says, well, now you do know it and you've seen it. Now I want you to notice that Jesus is saying this to a guy who's been living right alongside him for 3 years. You know, this is not a matter of, you know, some stranger that wanders up and says, hey Jesus, could you explain yourself to me? This is a guy who knows Jesus intimately because he's walked down the road with him and watched his ministry and seen the miracles he performed and heard all the things he said about himself for 3 solid years. And he said, well, if you're human, you understand. Man. You know, is there hope for me? Because I didn't get to walk down the road with Jesus. I didn't get to camp out with Jesus. I didn't get to eat meals with Jesus and hear all the talk, the things that he had to say and what he talked about the kingdom of God, all the stuff that I wish I knew, all those details are not in here. You know? There's tons in the Bible for our encouragement. There's so much. Can you imagine the conversations that they had? I mean, these guys were itinerant. Jesus, you know, preached, moving from place to place and doing what God called them to do. And the disciples went with him. And they sort of, you know, slept on floors and camped out and did whatever they had to do. Can you imagine the conversations? If they were falling asleep at night, the conversations over meals, the stuff that they talked about when they were walking down the dusty roads.
Man, I'd love to know all that stuff. And Thomas had that, and he still struggled. He had that, and it was still tough for him. And Jesus said, if you knew me, you'd know the Father. Wow. In one way, that feels like it sets the bar really high. In another way, it says to me, you know, Thomas had all that, and he still didn't understand all that. He still didn't get all of it. He still didn't have everything down pat. Apparently, you know, he might have taken notes as Jesus was talking, but he didn't have it all down and understand it yet. Maybe there's hope for me. And I don't know if you've had this experience or ever considered this possible, but you can spend a lifetime in church, a lifetime in religion, a lifetime studying the Bible and becoming an expert in it, and miss Jesus. Scripture backward and forward and serve and make friends and all that kind of stuff. And miss Jesus. You can live, die, get married in the church, be buried by the church, all that kind of stuff. And never know Christ. In any way that has anything to do with your life, in any way that impacts or changes your life or the world around you. I think one of my nightmares is that when I talk with people who spent their whole lives being saturated by the church, by religion, by doctrine, and yet they have no sense of God's love. They really don't understand what it's all about. As we said from the beginning, you know, the gospel is so simple. It's this really simple thing. You know, God adores us. Because he does, he gave Jesus to wash away our sin, permanently and forever. And all we have to do is reach out and take hold of that. And we become God's children. We have the right to call children of God. John says in chapter 1. It's such a simple, simple thing, and yet I think because it's so simple, we've tried to make it so hard sometimes. And we've made so many hoops for people to jump through. And we've made so many standards and things for ourselves that we've lost it. We really don't know sometimes where the gospel is, what it really means. We miss that. And that's part of what we're really trying to get at Blue Ridge. It's just communicating that one simple truth. Like I said, like a guitar with one string, and we're going to pluck the heck out of this. You know, we're just going to really keep hammering that one truth because I need to be reminded every day. And I'm betting you do too. Because you know, the world takes my focus away from that. It's really tough. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you really knew me, you know my Father as well. And I think Thomas is just trying to figure out what the heck that means. And so he gets quiet, and if you notice, there's almost a roll call of people here in this scripture. There's Peter, there's Thomas, and Philip, and a bunch of different ones later. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas is mentioned in this chapter. There's, you know, there's a whole bunch of people talking here. And Jesus is answering their questions, trying to calm their hearts. And he says, Philip. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. And, you know, I kind of get the sense of Jesus almost chuckling and saying, Philip, going to hang out with me. You don't know that I'm the Father and the Father's in me. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You don't know that. How could you not know me after all this time? You know, and I think Philip had heard all the things Jesus said. I think Philip had faith in what Jesus said. I think Philip just was looking for something more. I think he needed something more to be able to boost his faith, something more to encourage him, something more to help him really get a hold on what Jesus is talking about. And he says, show me the Father. He's like, Jesus says, how could you even ask me to show you the Father? That's what I've been doing this whole time. Don't you know me, Philip? That gives me a little bit of hope, you know? I look at that and say, if people who knew Jesus that way, they still had a hard time getting their heads wrapped around all of it. Maybe there's hope for a dummy like me. I also look at it and say this. What does Jesus point back to? He is the way. Knowing everything is not the way. Having all the facts straight, understanding everything that Jesus ever said backwards and forwards, having walked down the road with him and ministered with him and washed his feet and served him and him served you and all those kind of watching miracles Because all that wasn't what it was about. Now, Jesus said, if you can't believe anything else, believe because of the miracles. He understood the human heart. The thing he's really trying to bring back to you is the way. Faith, you know, believing that Jesus really is taking us to something, that Jesus does have a future for us and hope, and that he is leading us to that. That faith is where salvation is. Just reaching out and taking hold of what God offers. That Jesus died for me. That his death on the cross was enough to forever take away every sin that ever committed. And my one part of that is respond to faith and trust in him for myself. That's what he's trying to get back to. That's what he's trying to boil it down to. I hope that in your life, that you've not been in a position that I've been in at times, and I've met a lot of people who are, of being so saturated with religion that you've missed Jesus. And if you're like me, sometimes I've made it way too complicated. I've made it about rules and regulations and doing stuff and not doing stuff and whatever. How much I could accomplish in the Lord's name. I've made it about having to understand everything. And you know, if I could really just get that all details and go through and do word studies on everything in here, and just, you know, that eventually there'd be some point where, you know, that there's just this huge step that happens and somehow become more Christ-like ones. Jesus doesn't call me with that. I mean, we're supposed to study the scriptures to show ourselves approved, but what Jesus really calls me to is faith. Trust me. It's like Thomas, it's like Philip. Reach out and take hold of him and believe that he is the way. And that what he says is true. And it leads to Father God, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you, God, just for the power of Jesus' ministry of his earthly life. And that, we can understand that we worship a Savior who worked and toiled and sweated and got tired and got frustrated just like we do. And that the people who most intimately knew him, the people who walked with you and served with you and learned right from your hand, still struggled. Still had a hard time with God. Still wanted to make it about understanding all the facts or seeing enough evidence or enough proof or something. And yet you told me, I am the way. Lord Jesus, help us to lay aside all the things that we mistake for the true way of God's way. Help us, God, to recognize the simple truth that you died to save us. That in you there is life. That you are the way to intimate fellowship with God forever. Lord, I pray that you would just challenge our hearts with that this week. And God, that as we rejoice in that truth, that it would just fall over, that other people would be impacted by it, that other people would come to know your love because of what you've done in our lives. Love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Now, this week, if you need to talk about something, you need to respond in some way. If there's something that we can do to help you in your spiritual journey, I try to emphasize every now and then, we're around. Come to text Tim or me, or we'll be happy to talk with you or guide you to someone to talk with. If you have something, if you want to respond in some way in faith, and reach out and take hold of what Jesus offers. We just really encourage you to that, and we're glad to talk with you about that. So we just want to pray for you, or if you want to take a step of baptism, to be able to, to be a landmark for you. You're a part of the universal church. You have the right to be called a child of God. We'd be thrilled to celebrate that. Any way that we can be able to be of help to you, please come and find us after.